This week on Hyperspace Broadcast, Tenchi ventures into space. But don't worry, the show's pretty much exactly the same somehow. Welcome to Hyperspace Broadcast, a podcast where we discuss our memories of a specific Toonami program before watching it and trying to determine if it was worth revisiting. I'm Michael Doak.
I'm Peter Eby.
And this week, we're talking about Tenchi Universe, episodes 14 through 26, finishing this series.
Yeah, that's right. And you know what? This show features a whole lot of karaoke.
By
a whole lot, I mean a little bit. That is way too much.
It has two different episodes where characters sing karaoke for extended periods.
Like, and it is excruciating.
Yes, it's really difficult to listen to. And let me tell you something, as a frequent patron of a karaoke bar.
Sure. Karaoke.
You know, You hear people who are bad occasionally.
Uh-huh. And who are bad occasionally.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
This is a particular kind of bad, which is not great voice actors not singing well.
What I assume are like bad translated songs or just poorly written songs.
Right.
Like, oh, really, man. A combination of shit on shit on shit.
And like, you know, and let's not,
Ayaka sings, and she sounds like an elementary school pageant. It's insane. like elementary school, like, talent show competition.
Yeah.
I'm not kidding.
Yeah, no, really, you're right. Bad. It's bad. And the thing is, like, you know, putting all that aside even, why am I watching these characters sing for minutes at a time that has nothing to do with anything? Like, I mean, that's a specific episode, and we'll talk about it later, but literally, there was a point where I said, is every character going to sing a song?
You know,
am I going to have to watch that?
What TV shows or movies would benefit from having a karaoke scene where everyone gets an entire song to sing? Like, it's really needed, like, The Wire.
Yeah,
like, Nolte just singing long Irish...
I'm trying to think of, like, something that would actually make sense. Like,
Star Trek. I feel like they could have done that in Star Trek.
Yeah.
A really bad Star Trek episode.
Yeah, no, like in a, like, latter Voyager episode, they just have, like a
season,
holodeck karaoke bar.
A season
that
2
seems
TNG.
Very plausible, yeah. Or season 1 TNG, to be fair. Like,
yeah,
come on.
Yeah.
That shit's much worse.
Early TNG is a bit weak.
Or really, you know, DS9 could have done anything with a holo.
I think
holo,
anyone could have done it.
Yeah,
honestly.
Anything with a, you know, holo suite.
DS9
slash
kind of
deck.
Did do it.
Yeah, they had the
but that's
the
besides
casino.
The point.
But it was it was a guy who was a professional. It wasn't just like everyone went up there.
Well, Cisco sang.
Yeah, and I think Odo did. Why are we
why are we
talking about Odo?
Hey, we're in our old podcast again. What do you know? Look where we found ourselves.
Talking about DS9. So Tenchi Universe. In this block, we get to the universe part of the title, as opposed to the Tenchi part.
Yeah.
Because the first thing that happens is that the house, the entire house, is abducted while Tenchi is away. And when I say the entire house, I don't mean everybody living there. I mean literally the structure itself is taken away by the Jirai military, who apparently there has been a coup on planet Jirai, and Ayaka is a wanted criminal. Also, she's associated with Ryoko, supposedly. So they capture both of them. This results in them sending a, like, escape pod, basically, with the rest of the cast and a miniaturized version of the house and the two wood bots, Azaka and Kamadaki, who I only mention their names because that's important later.
They kidnap everybody and then spit everyone else back out.
Yeah, right. So, of course, we have Tenchi and company going up to rescue Ayaka, Ryoko, and Sasami from their prison, using Ryo Oki, who is basically like the ultimate tool in this show.
Yeah, really.
As they
like, we're cornered and we can't open this prison cell. Ryoki, just turn into a spaceship.
Yeah, just turn into a spaceship and rip out of this one. which is pretty badass, actually. But basically, this whole kind of arc is about them trying to get to Jirai and figure out what exactly happened. Who the guy who has taken the throne calls himself Yosho, which was a legendary Jirai warrior, trying to find out who he really is and getting themselves in deeper and deeper shit, usually thanks to Mihoshi, of course.
Yeah.
You know, by the end, they're pursued by basically everybody who has been an established power in this show so far. That being Jirai and the Galaxy Police.
Unfortunately, the way this block breaks down is basically like, oh, it starts with like a little bit of plot episodes.
Yeah.
Like they get kidnapped.
Yeah.
And then it's like, and back into filler, but in space.
And like, exactly. You know, that description that I just had probably made it sound pretty good.
Yeah.
Don't worry, because don't worry. Literally like four straight episodes of just total filler, like, you know, and again,
doesn't even need to be in space filler.
Like, yeah,
oh, they're
right
on a planet on the beach.
Yeah, and again, we'll talk about that in a little bit. But so eventually, they go down to this planet, which seems to be a filler episode, but is actually quite plot relevant because it's a planet where two legendary Jirai knights were buried. Those knights turn out to be like the original versions of Azaka and Kamadaki. Again, those are the two wood robots.
Yeah.
They revive the knights. Then they find out that Grandpa Katsuhito is actually Yosho.
And Itachi is technically Jiraiyan by descent.
Yeah, right. And then Yosho slash Katsuhito drops a backstory about this other guy who he was really good friends with way back in the day, and that guy is named Kagato, and he's the one who's, you know, taken over Jirai by the name Yosho.
Yeah.
So we have a series of final battles, basically. There's one between Katsuhito and fucking Kagato. Man, I'm starting to, like, mince my names here. Kagato wins. He then beats Ryoko and Tenshi. The laser sword thing is finally introduced.
Yeah.
And then, you know, we have the final showdown, basically, between Tenshi and Kagato.
I do like that the entire series, they spend using wooden swords until the end where they get lasers. Like, don't even bother with metal.
Yeah, skipping right past the Bronze Age
right to lightsabers.
Yeah, and also throughout this, I guess it's worth mentioning, there's a lot of talk about the Jirai power and how Yosho was the most powerful wielder of the Jirai power, and
like
Kagato is
gets it.
Yeah, and Kagato has corrupted the Jirai power, etc., etc. Basically, the power is like the Force, I would say. Like, it's some kind of magic that they never really explain.
Only the lightsabers in this are cooler. They're made of wood,
and they're also
have bigger beams.
Yeah, and they also are made of the power, specifically. But it, you know, it's this weird thing where, like, there's just something about the phrasing that they use, and there are episodes where they go on and on and on about the Jirai power and how awesome it is. And there's something about the way that it's put that it sounds like they're going to eventually explain what the power is, but they never do. Like,
nope.
I don't know. It's weird, and it tickled me every time it came up. Like, they just talk about the power for 5 minutes at a time. You're like, all right, what is the power exactly? Like, could you at least give us the Yoda Force explanation? Like,
yeah, sure.
Just something?
The dry power flows through us, if you're real.
Yeah, if you're
real blood.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, then we kind of have the capper episode where everyone goes their separate ways. Tenshi's back on Earth living a normal life and pining about the old days, but good for him. Basically everyone comes back to Earth because he is awesome, I guess. And that's Tenshi Universe. It's great.
There's it was an interesting watch. Yeah, I mean, obviously we're gonna summarize it a little later, but what a show! Like,
yeah, right. It's
right after, and like, this is a show, and I don't mean to just sandbag on these 90s anime voice actors.
Yeah, sure.
It's an evolving medium, and it's in a really good place today, I would argue.
Yeah, and also, and, like, let's be honest, you know, they were working with limited budgets and time. Like,
and capabilities, like in terms of getting the stuff from overseas and doing
right,
all that.
I mean, exactly. There are a lot of limitations on that kind of stuff. So, yeah, no, sandbagging on the voice actors, like, the voice acting's not great, but...
And the writing.
Yeah.
The writing is also really bad.
But we understand that, like, dialogue and that kind of stuff, you know, you have to give it a little bit of leeway.
Yeah, and it's such a difficult thing, too, because it's like, who do you blame? Like, for a show having crummy dialogue when it's from another country, like, there's, obviously, it's like the original script and the original language also might suck and be boring or weird.
Mm-hmm. Or, you know...
In addition to...
Yeah, exactly.
Any of the,
like,
steps in between.
Ultimately, it's hard to really point a finger at any one person or even step of the process and how something ends up like this.
That said,
to an extent,
the dialogue and the acting in this is really bad, like worse than Sailor Moon.
Yeah, I'd say that.
And we had just come off of criticizing Sailor Moon's dub, or I had.
Yeah, and I think, like, the thing about Sailor Moon that
probably worse
redeemed it for me was that there were occasions where the voice actors seemed to, like, kind of make choices that infused their character with some kind of depth, even if it wasn't really there. Like, just some of the ways that Serena delivers lines, and I don't mean to gush about this again, but made it feel like there was more of a depth of personality than maybe she really had in the show.
Yeah.
That is not really the case here. Like,
yeah,
for the most
part. Especially with, you know, characters like Washu or Aika, like,
yeah,
you know,
it's just not a lot.
And it's strange because, like, I didn't have this kind of issue with the OVA when we watched it back in the day, and that has, I'm pretty sure, the same exact voice actors.
Yeah, it definitely does.
Point your fingers all you want, you know.
Yeah,
Where do we find the problem?
But, well, let's table this for now. And let's talk about some of our favorite episodes. Let's not down this, I guess, tailspin of negativity. So I want to say, like, off the bat, and I'm sure you agree with me, the last few episodes of this are actually pretty good.
Yeah, yeah.
So both of our picks are from there. Personally, you know, it's kind of a toss-up for me. My pick was episode 24. In this episode, Ayaka's been kidnapped by Kagato previously, and Ryoko's been pretty badly wounded. Basically,
trying to fight him.
Yeah, basically what happens is that Ryoko attempts to once again, like, persuade Tenchi to kind of run off with her and leave all this, which he refuses to do. And then she's like, well, fine, I'll take you to, like, save Ayaka.
Yeah, I'll take you through the fleet to get to Jirai.
Despite the fact that I'm, like, mortally wounded. Which is maybe a pineapple salad moment in a sense, but...
a little bit.
It's a real PS. But,
yeah.
I mean, the thing that makes this episode good in my mind is mostly that, like, Nagi shows up again and has a specific thing to do, like... She kind of helps with this plan to sneak Ryoko past by posing as Ryoko, because, you know, their ships are basically identical. You know, you have, like, actually some of the emotional stuff from the end of the last block with Ryoko, which I appreciated, and I'll say I was wrong. I didn't expect any of that in here, and there was some, and I was pleasantly surprised. And I don't know, like, it moves the plot. It's just, overall, it's a pretty good package, and it's part of the end.
And it's got some, like, good action in it, too. Nagi is ridiculously broken in how powerful her ship is.
I think that comes later when she just blows up the entire Jirai fleet with her ship alone.
Yeah, she can make, like, a scatter laser
ridiculous
that shoots... everything surrounding it, and what do you know, it just blows up an entire fleet and she flies off.
Yeah, that's great. But
it does have it does have kind of an annoying anime trope, Nagi's relationship with Ryoko, which is like Nagi's such a rival for Ryoko. First of all, there's never an explanation why she hates Ryoko so much.
Oh, it's because she's a bounty hunter and Ryoko is a like
is
space
that it?
Pirate. Yeah, because she's
why specifically Ryoko?
Clearly there's also some kind of, you know, parallel thing between them. You know, they have the same weird cat rabbit potential, like familiar that's also a spaceship that seems to be something completely rare. Like
she does that classic like anime trope thing where she helps out Ryoko because she's like, I'm going to help you because I'm the one who wants to. I'm the one who's destined to kill Ryoko.
Yeah, right.
So I'm going to help her live so I can kill her later. It's like, but I'm not going to, really.
Yeah, of course. I mean, I personally saw it as more of a, like, kind of Vegeta, like, oh, grudge and respect. Yeah. I'm going to join you guys, which I like that kind of stuff. But, you know, like, this episode's pretty good. And it also has one of the things that's actually awesome about this block, which is, by virtue of it being in space, we have so many goddamn crazy ship designs, like, in every episode. And that, you know, visually, this series has never really disappointed me. So, you know, there's a bunch of ships flying around shooting at each other. Like, that's stuff that the 14-year-old in me really likes. So
yeah,
they had it here. What about you?
Yeah, I'd say my favorite episode is the episode 25, No Need for a Showdown, which is the climax of the series. It is the penultimate episode. It's just a build up to the final battle. Tenchi and Azake and Kamadaki finally make it to Jirai and are just running on their way to go face down Kagato. And you get these kind of cool battles that, like, Azaki and Kamadaki, like, face off against these other, like, dark servants of Kagato, and they have a pretty kind of brutal, like, mage battle with them. Like, they're always just, like, shooting magic at each other, but it looks really cool.
And it's kind of, it's kind of unique and Shirkilly also, a little bit.
A little bit, yeah. Like, they're, you know, they're kind of doing super moves at each other, but they also, like, Azaki and Kamadaki, like, get pretty brutalized, but end up, like, brutally killing the enemies too in a way that I didn't expect. Like Azaka like just like blasts like a water blast through this guy's entire torso and just destroys him.
Yeah, it's like
the other guy gets like slashed and like turns into a skeleton, like all gaunt and shit as the energy drains from his body.
Sort
like
of,
it's just badass.
Yeah, like
really random too.
What's his face at the end of Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade, Donovan, I think. Or if, you know, I once watched the movie of Fist of the North Star, and that begins with nuclear bombs incinerating people. It was like a similar level of kind of grotesque, horrible thing, which it just feels so
you
fucking out of place
that?
In this show. Kind of.
It wasn't
horrible. Dude, I don't know, man.
It's not
like
it's not like kids being incinerated or something.
Well,
it's just like
evil
bad guy getting killed brutally.
Right.
And it's not that uncommon.
I'm not saying horrible emotionally. I'm saying like the visual of the dude, you know, disintegrating into like a corpse is pretty fucking crazy to see in this show, you know, that has a subplot where two spaceships are in love with each other. Like,
and when you put it that way. Yeah. Yeah, it's an interesting episode. Like they, Washu and like the other people like are also facing off against the Jirai and like fleets and infect them with a virus and have this whole little subplot thing. But most of it's like leading up to Tenchi and Kagato facing off in this room with many many stairs that Tenchi has to run up and
seemingly
to slash at him.
Ever increasing number of flights of stairs
like
depending on perspective.
Back. Anytime it cuts back to that scene, it looks like there's another set of stairs. It's to the point where he's like running up to like, I don't know, an ancient temple, like 5,000 steps to just take one slash of this guy and get his ass kicked.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a good episode. It was it was entertaining and it had the action that I wanted.
Yeah, sure.
Now, you take something like that and you compare it to earlier in the block.
Yeah, let's get back into our spiral of irritation.
Let's get mad. Take it back earlier in the block just by comparison. It's like, let's go to, I don't know, episode 16. Episode 16 is another episode where they are in space, but you wouldn't be able to tell from the filler. Like, this plot doesn't need to have them in space. They run out of money, and they're just like, you know what? We got to get jobs. And it's similar to the filler of the first block, where there really isn't much of a drive at all. Like, their drive is, we got to get money, I guess, to get fuel for the ship. But it's like, that's not a concrete goal, really. Like, it's just like, we're going to make money, and to make money, we need to do wacky things to make a plot happen.
Yeah,
or to make funny
right,
stuff happen.
Basically.
There's no plot. It's like, they make a hostess club, and, like, that's kind of funny.
Yeah, but also, like, you know,
the beginning of the episode is excruciating karaoke, like
about. Like, yeah, this is the karaoke.
For, like, 5 to 10 minutes. And it is kind of funny that, like, they ran out of money for fuel because they spent it all on a karaoke machine. Mm-hmm. But God damn it, like, it is painful to sit through that karaoke.
Yeah, and this is literally, like, I think it's Ryoko starts, and she sings a song, and it's like, all right, cool, that was that.
Yeah.
And then basically immediately after that, Ayako starts singing a song.
And Washu.
Does Washu sing?
Yeah,
oh,
Washu
God,
does.
She does.
She does this whole, like, you know, science song that's, like, sing-talking, and it's really bad.
That means that we have literally seen every female character in the show sing karaoke, like, the entire main cast, because there was that episode with Kiyone and Mihoshi singing karaoke way back in block one.
Yeah. I have to wonder if that was the thing, because, like, in Japan, I get the feeling that a lot of, like, voice actresses also double as, like, singers and will release, like, albums or something, or character CDs, like CDs where they sing in character.
Sure, that's a thing that you've seen, presumably.
Yeah, that's a thing that I've seen for a couple different anime. And I have to wonder if like having all those scenes is there was kind of part of that. Like, hey, let's have these actresses sing. And
yeah, like a real Yellow album, but the Tenchi cast.
What?
The Simpsons Yellow album.
Oh, God. I think I had that.
Yeah. And the
Why
thing
did
is,
I have that?
Because it was.
Why did I have an album of the Simpsons singing?
Because it's
I don't
a
like
fucking,
when they sing in the show.
Like, ultimate piece of pop culture, you know?
Yeah.
Shit. Like, thing you can own. Yeah, like, this is not going to come as much of a surprise, but my least favorite episode was of a similar vein, and it was kind of a hard, like, pick for me, because there is seriously a block of, I think, 4 or 5 episodes that are just all kind of block one stuff that I disliked to begin with, except that it takes place in space, and a lot of it, you know, that doesn't really matter.
Yeah.
Like, that's incidental to what's going on, which is unfortunate, because I think that having, like, kind of filler stuff in space would be inherently more interesting. I just wish they'd, like, done more with it. But I picked this one specifically because it's kind of emblematic of that, but it is episode 20, No Need for Swimsuits. As you can probably guess from the title, this is an episode that is straight up fan service. It is basically all of the female characters participating in a swimsuit competition in order to get the prize money of, like, what, 10,000 dry dollars?
Dry bucks.
Yeah. And the slightly interesting thing about this is that Nagi shows up halfway through and then decides to join the contest because, and I quote, "This will really psych me up for our battle, Ryoko."
So stupid.
Yeah.
There's some funny gags in that episode, like the dumb shit they do, but it's really just another filler episode.
Well, it's not just another filler episode, but it's a filler episode that I was familiar with because a friend of ours and I talked about this when we were doing our original, like, Tenchi Muyo coverage.
Uh-huh.
And he was like, the only episode of that show I remember is that there was one with a swimsuit contest, and I was like really excited about it because, you know,
that's great.
I was like a 13-year-old boy.
Yeah,
And the thing is, he told me that, and I didn't realize, none of, like, not in my wildest imagination would I have assumed that this episode takes place in fucking space. Like, why?
Yeah,
why does it have to? They don't even have, like, a joke. Like, there's no, you know, Futurama Miss Universe amoeba.
Right.
You know, it's all just human women, basically. Like, come on. You could have at least had...
There is one robot.
Yeah, that's true.
There is one robot.
There is one robot.
That's pretty funny.
That is funny. But I wish they'd done, like... Like, even just doing more with that would have been pretty hilarious to me. But it's just, let's put these characters in swimsuits.
Yeah, yeah. Like, have long shots of their entire bodies slowly.
Yeah, of course. And this is also the point where I realized, like, this show is in some ways, especially this arc, like, kind of a shitty Outlaw Star. Like...
That's a great three-word review.
Yeah. Like, Outlaw Star has its faults, and we'll talk about them someday. But, you know, there is, I remember from watching the first several episodes, like, there's a lot of this kind of financial burden of flying through space.
Yeah.
And that's an interesting idea. And this show kind of, like, meddles with that idea, but doesn't do anything that interesting with it, I don't think. Like, I feel like there are more interesting ways they could make money in space.
Like, you get a lot of that in Cowboy Bebop as well.
Right, like, I mean, you could have had, like, a heist episode where Ryoko is like, oh, we're gonna rob this bank. Like, that would have been fun, you know? Like, that kind of... I mean, I guess that doesn't have to take place in space either, but you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, right. And it's always just, like obviously, the... Like, they land on a planet with a beach on it. Like, okay, sure.
Yeah, it's kind of like that episode of TNG where Picard goes to Ryza.
To Ryza?
Sort of.
Sex planet?
Yeah, right. Except it's really more like the DS9 episode featuring Ryza, because that takes place on a beach and everyone's wearing swimsuits, and that's basically the only reason it exists.
I don't remember that.
It's not a great episode.
maybe that's why.
Yeah. Well, what about some individual moments in this show? Because here's the thing. This show does have a lot of pretty good moments, I think.
Yeah, yeah. That's part of what makes the filler so weird, and how it makes the show kind of difficult. It makes it hard to choose, like, a least favorite episode. Because, like, I think every episode has, like, a little moment of something that was kind of funny, or kind of just a cute detail or something like that.
Yeah, right.
Even though overall they're kind of bland.
Yeah, sure. I mean, the swimsuit episode has Nagi competing in the swimsuit competition because it's going to pump her up for an actual physical fight. Like, that's stupid. I can't help but think it's pretty funny. Like,
when Yosho, Grandpa Yosho, frees the real Azaka and Kamadake from their... Kazuhito. When Kazuhito frees the real Azaka and Kamadake from their entombment, it's about five minutes of painful seizure-inducing flashes. Like, it's insane that this aired anywhere.
Yeah, and...
it hurt to watch.
It literally, like, I'm not really sensitive to that kind of thing. It went on for so long that I literally had to look away from my computer.
Yeah.
Like, it, and it just kept going.
I had to shield my eyes, like, and it's just like, I guess because it's a magical environment or something, they have this, like, green and dark flashing.
Yeah.
Where it's
man, that was crazy. I forgot about that.
I'm okay with a little flashing in anime, like, they use it sometimes, but like, come on, God.
Right.
What are you doing? Like, that, who does that not hurt?
Like, here's another thing, like, there's an episode in this that involves a ghost, and this is also the only episode that I can think of off the top of my head in this series that has Sasami as a main character. Like, they cut the entire Sasami tsunami thing from Moyo / Ryooki. Like,
which, to be fair, was pretty confusing.
Yeah, right. I mean, I don't mourn the loss of that, but still, like, that leaves Sasami with basically nothing to do.
Yeah.
and this is like the one episode that's about her, and it's just her befriending a ghost girl. And then there's this point where it seems like, you know, maybe something's gonna go bad because it's a fucking ghost. Nope. She just lets Asami go.
Yeah, then the episode's over. No, we're gonna be friends forever. You're gonna stay with me forever.
Yeah, right. But no, it doesn't happen.
Figure that's gonna happen? No.
It's just weird. Friends. It's like, I like subverting expectations and things, but it's just this kind of subversion that I'm like, okay, like, what am I supposed to get out of this? Like, this isn't really funny. You just made it so that nothing happens.
I feel like they should have had some kind of third-party thing come in and cause trouble. Like, maybe a ghost dad. I walked into a Bill Cosby movie title, but if they had a ghost dad come in and, get angry and kidnaps Asami, then maybe that would be the case.
Or there's an evil ghost on the ship or something, whatever. Yeah, like, right. We don't need to try to pitch better versions of the plots of this show, but... But yeah, like, that's another moment that's really weird. Just this ghost being like, all right, see ya. And then she leaves. And it's really nice, but also not that interesting.
There's this one episode where their ship gets hijacked when they're, like, stopping at a diner. These kids who hijack their ship are, like, work part-time at the diner and hate their job. And one of them is this, like, punky-looking kid with, like, orange and red hair and earrings, and he just flips off the camera for no reason and laughs. Like, he's just such a stupid, cool kid.
He looks like a Wile E. Cat from Thundercats a little bit. Like,
that's
just,
right.
It's
that's
really just the hair, but it's just, pretty much the same hair exactly.
He looks like a teen Thundercat, and he's like a badass teen Thundercat that flips off the camera and laughs, and like his name is Amarube, and it's just like that one design. Like, they don't really do anything with his character.
They kind of just fly the ship and then get chased by the police. And that's
get scared.
And like, they're sort of also like the punks in Repo Man a little bit, like, and that they're just insane caricatures of the idea of punks that are like completely silly. And they don't do shit. I don't know that. The character's appearance is the only thing that's really worth mentioning. Like, he looks like fucking Wile E. Cat.
He flips off the
camera, which is always fun.
Yeah. It always shows that he's really cool.
Yeah, we get to see how edgy Tenchi Universe is. You know, it's sad. Like, I'm sitting here and I'm struggling to come up with moments that I really liked that, like, weren't in this.
Yeah, like,
there's
anytime
a thing
it is
that
something.
Yeah, there's a thing that I forgot to mention, actually, that that it's implied at the end of No Need for Ryoko that Ryoko just dies, which I was kind of like, man.
It's pretty brutal.
If this show had the balls to just kill Ryoko because it's almost over, I would actually kind of be happy with that. Like, that would be pretty crazy to see in this. And, of course, she's not dead, but there was, like, a minute there where I was like, this is pretty sad. Like, good job, Tenshima.
Well, in the end, I thought the final episode was pretty, like, sad and melancholic, just about recalling the past and, like, oh, all my friends are gone and now I have to go back to school. And it's like, this sucks. like, I don't know. I was on board with that episode. And then, like, everyone came back. And even though anyone could have seen that a mile away, I was happy when it happened.
Ryoko
is alive. She's here.
I think I'm still, like, slightly irritated by the fact that, A, it doesn't make a whole lot of sense that Tenchi just gets out of being Jirai royalty and just goes back home, and there's no fucking consequence for that whatsoever.
Yeah.
And also, like, you know, to an extent, I'm like, well, cool, Tenchi, you don't have to do anything different at all. Everyone else just comes to you.
Yeah, everyone else changed their life for Tenchi.
Yeah. But... I'm like struggling to come up with actually good moments. Maybe we should get to the break and then start really laying into this show, which is what I'm gonna do.
Yeah, I think it's about time to start busting out our opinions on this show, huh?
Yeah, we really haven't been doing that so far.
Not at all. Let's get to our overall thoughts right after this break.
Go away, you pesky person!
Tenchi Universe will return in a moment.
Hey there, listener. If you're a fan of the podcast, why not subscribe on iTunes? And if you're a big fan, consider leaving us a review. If you want to interact with us more directly, we'd love to hear from you. We can be found at facebook.com/HBpod and Twitter at HBpod. If you're like me and you don't often know what to talk to people about, consider leaving us an over-under bet based on Dragon Ball Z, the next series we'll be watching. For example, how many senzu beans are given out during the fight against the Ginyu Force? We'll try to guess, and it will influence the next series that we end up watching. The next episode will be up on October 11th. That'll be Tree of Might. And we'll be back to Tenshi Universe in just a moment.
Tenshi Universe now continues.
And we're back. So, Peter, what did you think about this block? And then what did you think about the show overall?
I felt like this block was like a slight hair's breadth cut above the last block in that it was in space. Well, it had some plot stuff that I enjoyed and more action, whereas the last block was entirely filler. Like, they would introduce new characters, but it'd still just be like, there's no plot behind their introduction. They're just there. Someone's ship's going to blow up and they're going to be stuck there. I get it. You know, this show had a similar kind, or this block had a similar, like, one note nature, oftentimes revolving around Mihoshi being a complete idiot causing all the problems
shit
for everybody.
I have to say about that.
Yeah. Well, yeah, and like it's just not great. Like, even the best episodes of this are like, oh, that was okay. Like, that was all right. That was kind of cool. Like, I could like some of the battles, you know, and some of the drama, I guess. But, like, there's still just like problems with the voice acting and dialogue, and it's like, you compare this to like fucking, I mean, okay, not fair maybe to compare it to Batman: Mask of the Phantasm, but like,
sure.
But that was a thing, and it's a movie, but it's like that had great dialogue and great, you know, action and voice
like
acting.
Emotional scenes that actually worked very well. Like,
yeah, and it's like, what if you had a little bit of that in Tenshi? Like, that would make it fantastic. This ain't it.
Yeah, yeah, pretty much.
And
I
even
mean,
the
like,
most dramatic moments are hampered by this kind of shitty dialogue.
Yeah, and you know, maybe a like slightly closer comparison, although it's still not totally fair just by virtue of, you know, taking place much later chronologically, but like Iron-Blooded Orphans, like Gundam Iron-Blooded Orphans, repeatedly was capable of making me feel emotions strongly, like you know, that's a show of similar length, and you know, the first season, like, there's a lot of stuff in that works on an emotional level.
To be fair, Tenshi Universe doesn't kill off a character every, like, three episodes.
This is true. yeah, you don't have long, drawn-out emotional death scenes.
Yeah, brutal, but, terrible death scenes.
But I don't know, like, I think that's maybe slightly closer than Mask of the Phantasm,
sure.
But I you're right, overall.
Yeah, what did you think about this block?
Well, here's the thing, like, I really don't have that much to add to what you said. Like,
sure.
I think that this block, like, yeah, it's the same as last block. It's the fucking same. There's some more plot stuff, and I think maybe some of those, like, final episodes worked for me more than they did for you.
Yeah.
But you know, still, you're kind of rounding up from something that's not very good, frankly.
Yeah.
And I don't know. It ends up being okay at best to me, which is kind of harsh, maybe, but I don't know. I
would agree with that.
Like, and I guess I'll get into, like, my thoughts on the show as a whole.
Yeah.
I'm not going to lie to you. I think this may be the show that I enjoyed watching the least.
Wow.
There were multiple episodes where we were watching it and I was just like, when is this going to be over?
Yeah.
Like, I don't care about the conflict that's happening here. Like, there is no conflict.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. Like, this is up there with like Ronin Warriors for me.
Uh-huh.
It's something that I didn't like very much at all. Like, I think that I think there, if you were to like make a Tenchi universe Kai and cut out the filler, it would be better and it would be something like watchable.
It would be 40 minutes long.
I don't know about that. I think I think if you cut this show down to like 13 episodes, it could be decent and like watchable. But I think the real problem that I have with it is something you kind of alluded to, which is that the characters are so one note and they have like no depth at all. And like I liked,
and they're exaggerated.
Yeah, right.
In some aspects.
And I liked Mihoshi at the end of the first block for various reasons, but like her only trait is to fuck things up. Like that's her only purpose in the show, is just to, you know, move the plot by like, oops, I'm an idiot. Like every episode, single episode. And like, I was thinking about this. It's like, imagine if in Dragon Ball Z, every episode Krillin got his ass kicked. Like, invariably, he never had a chance to show off. And not only that, but no one else got their ass kicked. It was just him all the time.
Or if it was, like, more evil bad guys came out and, like, became more powerful only because Goku was an idiot.
Yeah, but here's the thing, like, and this is the problem that I had with it, is that, you know, as a pair of characters, Miyoshi and Kiyone are both extremely like boring, because basically you have Kiyone who just yells at Mihoshi for sucking, and then you have Mihoshi who constantly sucks. And like I just desperately wanted one episode to be like, hey, this time Kiyone fucked up. Like, her bad luck is not entirely Mihoshi's fault. Maybe she's also kind of a fuck up sometimes, because, you know, like she's just perfect in this and it's stupid. And, you know, to a lesser extent, like Ryoko and Aeka, I felt kind of the same way. It's like, Ryoko's fucking up again. Like, being selfish, and Aeka's Aeka's at least more flawed than Kiyone is, but still, I don't know. It's just overall, I think that most of my complaints from the first half of the show hold over, but it became more frustrating because I was watching more of it. And it sucks that, you know, in the space adventure parts, it doesn't get any better. I wanted this. I was like, they're going to go to space. That's going to be cool. There's going to be something different. And there really isn't. And it's, I don't know, it's disappointing.
Yeah, that's, you're not going to find any disagreement from me, man. That this is probably the lowest point of any of the shows we watched for me, too.
Yeah.
Especially when there is a good OVA
that
we also watched in this series that is the same thing, only a lot better.
And that's the thing, too. Like,
watch Tenshi Muyo Ryoki. Watch the OVA is my 3-word review of this show. Just watch the OVA. Like, whereas yours is Shitty Outlaw Star, which I really like. Oh, man. Yeah, not a fan, man. Just the characters get so annoying, too.
Yeah,
like you said, they're one note, they're annoying, they do the same joke over and over again. They're just exaggerated.
Yeah, and on that point, you know, we were talking earlier about, you know, who can you lay the blame on for some of the bad writing in this show?
Mm-hmm.
Dialogue is a difficult thing, certainly, but, like, plot structure, like, all that shit, that's the original. Like, you can't really, you know, like Mihoshi being a total moron and fucking everything up isn't something that got changed. That's just how it was. And
thing being fucking filler is not,
not
the fault of the, localizers.
And it blows my mind that like the characters in Sailor Moon had more depth than the characters in this show sometimes. Like, goddamn.
And better voice acting. Like, if you pick out any extra character in this show, any extra from the background, and they first of all, most likely have the voice of Tenchi, but like doing a different voice. Like it's like,
yeah, pretty much.
Hey guys, I'm not Tenchi. Can I get a burger? And they're like,
and
oh,
you know,
yeah, we'll
okay,
a burger at this part-time job.
Okay, to be fair, the worst. Now to be fair, that was also true of Gundam Wing. Gundam
it's
Wing's extras were entirely like duo.
Yes, they were. It's also true of even sometimes the extras in Cowboy Bebop are terrible, and that is like the god number one dub. Like that's one of the legendary like original dubs that people love, that I love. But even that suffers sometimes with some of its extra characters sounding weird and like, what? Huh? Like what is this voice? Like why? No human sounds like this.
Sure.
But man, in this show, it stands out.
Yeah, it does. And it's, I think that's partly because so much of the show is centered on the main cast. Like, there aren't a lot of extra characters.
Yeah, not
so,
at all, really.
So when they come up and they just sound completely crazy, it's, you know, it's more, I guess it sticks out more than it would in a show like Gundam Wing, for example, where there's tons of extraneous characters.
Yeah, yeah.
And you know, also I enjoyed Gundam Wing generally, so when Duo showed up somewhere else, I was like, hey, that's pretty funny.
It's just funny, yeah.
Instead of like, oh, this show's bad, oh great, here's Tenchi's clone who looks like Tenchi and sounds like Tenchi.
Yeah.
You know, I will give the show a little bit of credit, actually. There was an episode where they pose as like a school trip and Tenchi has to dress as a girl. Mm-hmm. And I, like, as soon as I saw that, I started cringing because I was like, oh, no, oh, no. And then there's this point where, like, this dude is seemingly attracted to Tenchi. And I was like, oh, god damn it. There's going to be, like, gay panic jokes and shit. Like, this is going to be so fucking terrible. I don't want to watch it. And they didn't really do that. Like, it's not exactly great, you know? But it
didn't really end up mattering. Yeah,
I was expecting like fucking boat trip or whatever the hell it's called.
Yeah,
levels
right.
of
homophobic, transphobic shit. Yeah,
and it wasn't that bad. So I was
no, not really.
Good,
at
good
all.
Work, Tenchi Universe. Sort of. Yeah.
Oh man. So you want to rate this?
yeah. Let's do it. So our scale is again visit. Which is a show that is generally quite good, that you would recommend to someone wholeheartedly. Revisit is a show that's maybe not quite as good, but you would say that if someone had watched it in the past, they can watch it and it won't really tarnish their memory of the show. And then there is Best Left in the Past, which is a show that is generally pretty bad and kind of tarnishes your memory of what it is.
Yep,
what did you think
watching.
This was, Peter?
This is my very first Best Left in the Past. Absolutely, 100%. For multiple reasons, including it tarnishes my old memories of watching the show on Adult Swim back in the day, and also there is a better version out there that exists even among the Toonami dub stuff. Like, watch the OVA. There's my review. Best Left in the Past.
Yep.
Get
and
this thing out of here.
Yeah, and I
Get
mean,
out of my sight.
This
Put
won't
this
surprise
thing in
anyone.
A body bag.
This won't surprise anyone who is a regular listener to the show, but I will say the same. I think this is Best Left in the Past. I think that, I mean, I was commenting to you at one point that if there is one great strength of this show, it is the visuals. It looks fucking great. Like,
even the OVA looks better, though. Like,
I mean, sure.
Obviously, because OVAs have more budget for production, but
I mean, yeah, but I don't know. This had a lot of, like, mechanical design stuff, and it wasn't... I think the show looks very good. And yes, the OVA looks better, fine. But
I still find the Jiraiyan, like, tree plant-based space technology
ships
really,
really cool.
Awesome.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, I think it's a
like,
really unique idea.
There's a lot of neat, like, design aspects. There are multiple robots that have mono eyes, basically, which is a nod that I really appreciate. But, you know, that I think the writing is pretty lackluster at best. I think it doesn't flow very well. It takes long asides like I'm doing right now. It's not good. It's Best Left in the Past. I can't say it really tarnished my memory of the show because I don't have memories of Tenchi Muyo that were like, yeah, this is a show that I would like dare to revisit ever.
Sure.
But Yeah, it's not good. It's not really worth it.
So, as far as the bet goes, I technically won.
Yeah, there was really no mass declaration of love at the end. Like, yeah. I was kind of expecting, to be honest, but
yeah, that's true. Happen. Like, you're right. You kind of expect everyone to come back and be like, I love you, Tenshi. No, I love you. Blah, 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 blah. Now everybody loves them.
Yeah, that would have been a really excruciating ending.
That would have been awful. yeah. No, instead, it's just the same old Ryoko and Ayaka, and I guess Mihoshi, even that.
Mihoshi and like Sasami's crush are barely referenced or addressed in any way. Like, it's not there, really.
So, for betting the lower on that one, I win. Yep. And I will choose to watch, and we're going to watch some more Dragon Ball Z next.
All right. I'm pretty.
We've got a decent bit more of that to fill out, and, you know, good to visit. Unfortunately, we're going back to the Funimation dub early days.
Yeah, right. I think we'll see how that is. But yeah, no,
Funimation dub gets a lot better.
Yeah.
It just starts off a little weak. And you got any thoughts on what you want to do for the next movie?
Yeah, so I think, well, we're kind of running low on stuff to watch as interim
from
episodes,
the Tom 1 era,
actually.
Yeah.
I was thinking Tria Might. I think Tria Might, despite the fact that it's going to be Dragon Ball Z, actually nestles kind of perfectly because it was cut into three episodes and broadcast as part of the show itself, which makes no sense.
Yeah.
But we'll talk about that when we watch it.
Yeah, and we'll also be going from like Ocean Dub directly to Funimation, too. So
we yeah,
get that,
well,
get
and
that
the,
shock again.
And the thing is, like, Tree of Might was basically put into the gap between what we finished watching and what we're going to start
with. Oh, that's right. Yeah.
So,
all right.
I think that's cool. It's like an episode or two off, but, you know, it fits just as well, which is to say not at all.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. Do you have anything else to say about Tenshi Universe?
No. Get it out of here.
Yep. Put in the universe and Tenshi Universe. Didn't improve it all that much.
No. We did not need a whole universe of Tenshi.
Well, what are your expectations for Tenshi in Tokyo?
None. It might be interesting. Yeah. It might be more of an excuse to not have a plot.
Yeah, we'll see.
Like, if they're just kicking it in Tokyo. I watched it, like, very little as a kid.
Yeah, same.
So we'll see on that.
Yep. Well, that's Tenshi Universe, everybody. This has been Hyperspace Broadcast. I'm Michael Doak.
And I'm Peter Eby.
And be sure to revisit us next week for the weirdly cut into three parts Tree of Might. Oh, and edited. Oh, man, there's some crazy edits.
Oh, there's some good censorship in that Tree of Might, yeah. Get classic like trees blocking dicks.
Yeah, and the fucking crazy edit where Turles is holding Gohan by the head and like edited so it looks so strange. Anyway, that's next week.
Yeah, we'll see you then.
Some acknowledgments. Bumpers were taken from the videos Toonami Tenshi Universe Bumper 1 and Toonami Tenshi Universe Bumper 2, uploaded by YouTube user MarkTrade88. The opening and closing music is Vapor Divin' by Onatech, off the album Onatech Instrumentals Volume 6. You can find more of their music on SoundCloud, and you definitely should because it's pretty great. Rights were secured through Jamendo.